Amen. How good it is to sing together, make a joyful noise to the Lord. No other God calls for his people to sing praises to him, to bless him. I want you to pour out your hearts to me in joy. As a humble, meek, heavenly Father who calls for our blessing, our praise. And we're going to continue in worship. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is going to, he's leaving Israel, going deep into Gentile territory. He's going to encounter a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite woman, and have a talk with her. So let's stand and read this together. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Father in heaven, thank you that we can come before you in worship. Thank you, Lord, that we can even stand before you blameless with great joy. We who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, been washed by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, that we are redeemed, we are reconciled to you, and we can stand before you blameless with great joy, lifting up our songs in praise. We pray if there's anyone who doesn't know that joy, Lord, that they would hear your call to come, to repent, to receive life, abundant life. And Lord, for the rest of us, revive us with your Spirit. We can continue following you, proclaiming you. Revive us with joy in your salvation, with courage, even as this Canaanite woman had. We could have courage to testify to your grace. Speak to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Hosea, back in the 8th century B.C., God told his people, he said, "Your faithfulness is like," not quite there yet, he said, "Your faithfulness is like the morning cloud." My father lives out in the hill country, and one of his neighbors, a rancher, says he knows exactly what that's like. He'll wake up in the morning and he'll see clouds on the horizon. He'll go, "Oh yes, we're going to get rain today." But then the sun rises, the heat beats down, and the clouds never make it over the ridge. It's just another hot day without a drop of water. God tells his people, "Your faithfulness is like that. You sound good. You look promising. But the sun rises and it's just a bunch of talk. There's no substance to it. Just a bunch of going through the motions." The ranchers say, "Oh, this guy's all hat and no cattle. He has a real nice hat, nice big belt buckle, beautiful boots. Doesn't know anything about ranching. Taking care of cows." Fraternity boys will say, "Oh, it's all foam and no beer. It looks good, but there's nothing there." A lot of people look at the church and say that. I remember back in 1984, Wendy's hamburgers, in 1 year, their sales went up 31%. Because we had Clara Peller, they did an ad campaign. Do you remember Clara Peller? Said, "Where's the beef? There's nothing there." Boy, they had a killing with that commercial. We saw the religious leaders Last week, they came to Jesus and they asked him questions about hand washing. They're all very pious. They keep themselves pure. And he rebukes them harshly. He says, your hearts aren't in this. It's empty. It's worthless. Rightly did Isaiah speak of you. Your hearts are far from me. It's all talk. It's all show. There's nothing there. Following these laws that he gave are good. They're supposed to teach us wisdom, supposed to teach us a love for God. True religion is personal reconciliation with God, a heart that worships him with joy, a heart that wants to draw near to him. And likewise, it's what comes out of our hearts. That is what will defile us. That is what will mess us up, is the sin in our hearts. Back in 1910, the London Times asked a question, the newspaper asked people a question, what's wrong with the world? And lots of people wrote in, said, oh, the political systems are messed up. We need to fix those. The economic system, that's wrong. If we get that right, we can fix things. Education, we need more education and the world will be a better place. And this guy, G.K. Chesterton, a philosopher, he wrote in, dear sirs, I am, yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton, said, I am what's wrong with the world. Out of my heart is what comes, defilement. Jesus rebuked these guys for not having a heart reconciled to God, a heart after God. And then he's going to look at this Canaanite woman and commend her, praise her for her courage. He says, great is your faith. It's like saying, great is your courage. And commends her. So let's look at this and say, why does Jesus commend this woman? Why? There's a huge contrast here between the religious leaders, he rebukes them, and then this woman, he commends her. So how does she come to him? First, she comes to him hopeful. She comes to him asking for help. She's eager to get help from him. The religious guys came to him, quizzing him, testing him. We have some theological questions for you. They're constantly dialogue. And he's not interested. He's never interested. We see again and again, he just walks away. This time he finally just rebuked him. This woman comes to him and she's hopeful. She asks him to help her. Lord, have mercy on me. Help my daughter. And she's recognizing that Jesus came to her. Jesus has traveled about 60 miles deep into Gentile territory. And these two cities, Tyre and Sidon, they're like the epitome of Gentile culture. And if Jesus, it's almost like he's shaking the dust off his feet of Israel. And he travels far and he finds this woman. And she realizes he has come. He's come to her. So she comes to him and asks for help. Be wary of waiting for God to do something. Oh, I'm going to wait for God. No, he has come, right? He has, and so she comes directly to him. Be wary of, oh, I'm just going to wait. I need God to do something. God has spoken clearly. He has revealed himself. He reveals himself through the creation. And I hope that people have come to you and said, hey, we want to tell you about Jesus. I hope they've come and say, well, we want to help you. We want to talk to you. We want to share this good news with you. We want to serve you in Jesus' name. God comes to us. He takes the initiative. He seeks us. But he also puts in our hearts, the Bible says, a hunger for understanding. Even a hunger to know him, to literally grope and feel our way toward him and find him. Who is God? Where is he? I want to know him. So, again, she's not just kind of waiting around. She comes to him, recognizing he's come to her, and she is helpful. She asks him for help. God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." But he also, it says, he woos us. He comes to us. He reveals himself. So she comes to him when she calls him Lord. Three times here, she calls him the Son of David. It's very clear she is hoping he is the Messiah. And not just the Messiah for the Jews, but the Messiah for her as well. He's hoping she is the deliverer, the Savior, hoping against hope. She's not coming to him like the religious leaders, the Pharisees who he rebuked, that are going to judge him, examine him, study him. As we read this, it's very hard for us to like keep it in the third person, right? To examine, study, think. No, we're being drawn in. How would I respond? How would I react? So she comes to him very hopeful. And then she comes to him. She's poor in spirit. Jesus already told us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, this is shocking. Right? But the disciples, we don't know what they were thinking, but they probably heard it and thought, who is this woman think she is? It's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. We could see it as an insult. Or, to the contrary, he's going to praise this woman. You could almost see it as a sign of intimacy, of even of respect. I know what these religious leaders say about you. I know they call you guys dogs. They won't have anything to do with you. I know how racist they are. They don't understand anything. He's rebuked them. Everybody says that President Biden gave President-elect Trump a big assist a couple of weeks ago when he called his supporters garbage. Did y'all hear about that? Trump immediately went and bought a garbage truck, right, and rode around doing interviews with supporters. That his supporters almost feel like it's a compliment, right? Everybody said this. This backfired big time. Similarly, 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton admitted it was a huge mistake. She called his supporters a basket of deplorables, right? Insulting. Jesus looks at this woman, I know what these guys say about you, that you are like a dog. She doesn't care. She says, Lord, help me. Fine. I'm a Gentile dog. She says, I still want your blessing. In a hope against hope that you're coming to give life, to give blessing. This is like, who did God give the actual name Israel to? To Jacob, right? He says, your name shall no longer be Jacob, it shall be Israel. Jacob wrestled with him all night long. Right? Jacob, his name means heel grabber, right? He was like a trickster. He was a swindler. He tricked his brother. He lied to his father, kept trying to get wealthy, and finally he came to the point saying, actually, I want God's blessings. I want the blessing of the Creator, of Yahweh, the God of my of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, of my grandfather, right, Abraham. He wrestled with God all night long. He sent all of his wealth, right, that he'd gained, all of his family, everything across into the promised land. He's effectively saying, I will give it all up. I've decided I want your blessing. And said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. I am heel grabber. I am the swindler, the trickster. And God said, I'm going to give you a new name, Israel. I'm going to name my people after you. The man who says, I'll give it all up if I can have God's blessing. I'll send everything ahead. Yes, I am a slave of sin. Yes, I am guilty. I'm helpless. I'm like a helpless slave like your people were in Egypt. I need your redemption. At some point, young people, at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, you come to realize, agree with Jeremiah, my heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I can't trust myself. I am not, in my heart of hearts, I am not a humble, righteous person. I need God's mercy. I need His grace, and I want it. And it takes a courage like this Canaanite woman, and this great faith. Say, yes, I want life. I need forgiveness. Jesus had to die on the cross and shed His blood so that I could be forgiven, so I could be reconciled with God. That is a beautiful thing to do. So that's what this woman, that's her attitude. Fine, you call me that. They call me that. I want your forgiveness. Now, you know, Jesus has healed a lot of people. He's given sight to the blind, healed the lame. Those people were, you know, in a sense, it wasn't their fault. Demon possession doesn't just accidentally happen to a little girl. Somebody opened the door for evil to come in this life. She has no merit. She has, you know, she can't say this isn't fair, we don't deserve this. Oh God, you... No, she says, Lord, have mercy. Would you help? Would you save? Would you deliver? So she comes, very poor in spirit. She needs a Savior. When the New Testament takes all of Jesus' teaching and sums it up into one sentence, what's that sentence? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Believe the good news. Stop sinning. Stop lying. Stop hating. Stop lusting. Believe the good news. Yes, God is holy. He's also merciful. That's His entire message. That's believe the good news about God's, and then Jesus laid down His life. Now, He says here, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus makes it very clear. He came for all the nations, right? He's already reached out to Gentiles. And in the end, we know He's going to send His disciples, go unto all the nations. And that was actually God's plan all along. We read at the very beginning of the service, we read Psalm 87. So mentioned Rahab and Babylon and Cush, Ethiopia, modern Ethiopia. This one was born in Zion. There'll be all these foreigners that are going to be part of God's heavenly people. That was His plan all along. And even though in the Old Testament it was all about guiding Israel, saving Israel, that was simply in preparation to introduce to the world the King of the Jews, the King of a person of the people born in slavery, delivered out of slavery by God's mighty hand, recreated. Jesus comes along and says, you're slaves of sin, you need to be recreated, you need to be reborn. So that was God's plan all along. This woman comes to Him humble, hungry. She comes to Him poor in spirit, and He commends her. He commends her for her faith. The first person you might remember in the gospel to show great faith was a centurion. And now we see this Gentile woman. God was always planning to save the Gentiles. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. That's the end result. That's the church. People from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Okay, so do you see the contrast here? The contrast between these religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, following all these traditions, following all these laws. Their heart is not in it. They don't feel like they need God's mercy. They feel like, I can do this and this and this, and look how beautiful I am. Look how pure, look at what a good person I am. Isn't God pleased with me? Jesus is like, contrast that with this Gentile, with Canaanite woman who She's opened the door. Someone opened the devil. Her daughter's got a demon. Who knows, you know, where her beliefs are, how much she understands. She comes begging, pleading for mercy. Fine, I'm a dog. I'm a slave. I am helpless. My heart is deceived. Please, Lord, help me. Jesus said, this is a righteous, commendable, courageous woman. And he heals her daughter. Which one do you want to be like? Which one do you want to identify with? Of course, it's with the woman. That's what we want to be like. I'll give you an example of it. It says we are jars of clay. Last week, a friend gave me this. It's not a wine glass, it's a cocktail glass. Right? It was very nice, a nice gift. He's actually a German Jew. He wants to do some Bible study together. And he gave me this glass. And if I find this glass in the cabinet, I'm going to be real careful with it. Right? I gotta, you know, be sure it doesn't break. This thing is beautiful, right? It's expensive. Got to be super careful with it. What am I going to reach for when I open my cabinet? I'm not going to reach for this. I mean, if he comes over, yeah, we'll have a drink. I'm going to reach for this, right? This thing is very expendable, right? And it'll hold a lot more. I can drink a lot out of this, right? Which one do you want to be? One that's all pretty and beautiful but delicate? Or do you want to identify with the doers of the Word of God? He can fill us up and pour us out, fill us up and pour us out. He can really use us. He can fill us with His Spirit. Which one do you want to be like? You want to be useful in His hand? You want to be courageous? We urge you, if you haven't yet put your faith in Christ, He has come. He has spoken. Maybe He's speaking to you this morning. Respond. Say, okay, Lord, yes, my heart is desperately sick. I want your salvation. I want the blessing. I want the promise of heaven. I want to be able to stand before you blameless, unashamed. Not because I'm not a sinner, but because I know I'm forgiven. I'm going to walk in the light and say, I need your grace. I want it. I love God. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I want to worship you. You come and do that this morning and be like this Canaanite woman who Jesus commends. Now, by the way, in conclusion, right, Jesus hasn't abandoned His people, Israel. He makes it very clear He still wants to bring the Jews into His kingdom. Who would have thought today the nation of Israel is surrounded by enemies? And more of the nations are like hating on Israel and pointing their finger at them. More and more are saying, these people are terrible. No secular historian, you know, 1,000 years ago ever would have predicted that. But the Bible, Jesus talked about it 2,000 years ago. His people are going to be surrounded, but God is going to protect them. I tell you that, Jesus is talking about He's come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as well as for all the nations. Someday, the Bible says, a lot of the Jews are going to turn to Him and realize He is their Messiah. He's our Messiah. We are the descendants of Abraham. We are the ones that believe in His salvation. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you make it so clear. You don't want us to feel ashamed. Lord, you don't want us to feel guilty. Lord, we do have sin. We have shame in our hearts. But when we come before you, when we repent, when we bow before your throne and confess our sins, Lord, that you delight to bring forgiveness. You delight to show mercy. You delight to give life. You want to give us a new heart, a heart of gold. You want to put your spirit in us. You want us to be filled with joy. Lord, we pray if there's someone in here who doesn't know that joy, they would give you their heart this morning, even now, like this woman. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, may we proclaim this with great joy. Proclaim the good news that, yes, you are holy. You are a holy, holy God. And we come before you with fear and trembling. But we also come before you with confidence in your mercy, your grace, your love, your desire to bring life, to make us a new creation. Lord, may we, your church, proclaim this good news with great joy. And Lord, would you send us? You said the fields are white for harvest. Would you show us people like this Canaanite woman? We can go to them and say, hey, hear the good news. Let me tell you about the Holy One of Israel. Let me tell you about Jesus. Lord, use us to proclaim your glory in the midst of a maddening, confusing world, Lord. In the midst of so much chaos, so much fighting, so much deception. Lord, we want to point to you. Say, Jesus can be trusted and honored and glorified. Lord, use us to lift up your name. Lift up the cup of salvation. Be glorified in our hearts, in your church. Pray we could see more people come to you. Taste and see that you're good. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let's continue to sing. Ancient of Days. The nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall. This gospel never changes.